So today we're going to do a combo class. We'll speak a few minutes, an introduction, and Baruti will give the main talk. She's been preparing for a long time. So I had a few thoughts I would like to share with you, and then I wanted to read also some very interesting, very nice descriptions of Srimati Radharani, especially her qualities from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Every Radha Krishna temple is an expansion of Vrindavan. And Srimati Radharani is the chief devotee in Vrindavan. So by consequence, Srimati Radharani is the chief devotee in every Radha Krishna temple. And Radhesh is unique in that it makes this position very clear, in a very clear and unambiguous way. It makes the position of Radharani very prominent. As I say, in every temple Radharani is a chief devotee, but in Radhadesh, because of the name, it's even more clear. Radhadesh is her land, her place. So she has a very unique position in Radhadesh, being so prominently worshipped and remembered every day, because we say the word Radhadesh practically 100 times a day, or 200 times a day. So she's very, very prominent. And all the devotees, all the resident devotees, and all the devotees connected with Radhesh are engaged in Gopinath's service, And she's engaging all of us, she's guiding us. So all the devotees, whether they're leaders, managers, head pujaris, cutting flowers, whatever service we do in Radhesh, she's our manager. She's managing everybody. That's why things go so nice in Radhesh, because if it was up to us, it would be a big mess. And she's very, very patient, very, very tolerant, especially here in Radhesh. She's tolerating so much of our misunderstandings, our shortcomings, defects, everything that we have. She tolerates all that and continues to engage us with unlimited patience. There's no end to her patience, her tolerance, and her desire to please Gopinath. So she even engages us, who are so qualified, to please Gopinath. And she actually has a vision for Radhesh, and she's manifesting this vision more and more. With a lot of patience through the years, Radhesh, as we know, is becoming more and more beautiful, more and more an established, mature community of devotees, and this took a long time, but her vision is coming to fruition. It's actually happening. So gradually, Radhesh is manifesting Radharani's vision for the community, for the property, for the worship of Krishna, of Gopinath. So we should be always praying to Srimati Radharani to bless us with Gopinath's service, seva, and Gopinath's devotion, bhakti. But also we should ask her blessings, because sometimes we forget, we become familiar. It's kind of a natural tendency. We become familiar amongst each other, and we forget that we're all being selected by Srimati Radharani to engage in her service to Lord Gopinath. So we should also ask for her blessings to develop affection and love for the devotees, for the devotee service, and to serve the devotees as well. So she can also bless us in this way, so that we can understand that we're all part of a very, very elevated spiritual family. We're not conscious of it, because we get very much caught up into our minds, our daily activities, and we need days like today, but that's the need to remember Srimati Radharani's unique position in Radhesh and how she's engaging all of us in service. And despite all our shortcomings, she's still engaging us year after year after year. So we can just imagine how much patience she has to wait for us to come to higher and higher standards of devotional practice, devotional life, devotional feelings, devotional consciousness. So I thought of reading from two very important chapters in Chaitanya Charitamrita, two very important chapters for devotees. which are chapter 22, which is the process of devotional service. In this chapter, which is very, very important, Lord Chaitanya gives a lot of information, very basic information, starting from the soul and how important it is, devotional service to the conditioned soul. He establishes very strongly the supremacy of devotional service over any other spiritual path. He actually even says how useless it is to practice other spiritual pursuits like Jnana Yoga and Mystic Yoga. And he goes on to give a lot of information for devotees, basic information on different classes of devotees, different types of devotees, categories of devotees. Gives so much basic information, a lot in numbers, there's a lot of numbers. Two types of devotees, six types of surrender, 26 qualities, nine process of devotional service, many, many figures in the chapter. This is basically to help us, conditioned souls, we need these kind of figures. Goal-oriented, we need to know, 6, 5, 4, 3. And we have all these different classifications that the Lord makes. He talks about how important it is to have the blessings of a pure Vaishnava in order to practice the devotional service, how essential it is, association of a pure devotee, and firm faith in the words of a pure devotee. He also talks about the most formidable enemy of devotees in the form of lust or attachment to the opposite sex in a lusty way. And also, he talks about association of non-devotees. This means association of non-devotees means taking people's association, not giving Krishna consciousness, but taking people's bad habits, bad thoughts, all these things, that by this association we also become affected and our devotional service becomes spoiled. So he mentioned these two as two very formidable enemies of a devotee. He talks about six symptoms of fully surrendered soul, two types of devotional service, regulative and spontaneous. So these two chapters, 22, is talking about regulative devotional service or devotional service in practice, and 23 talks about spontaneous devotional service, the ultimate love of life, and pure love of Godhead. So for me it's much more easy to read and comment on this first one. The second one seems very far away, but Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that he gives us a lot of information about pure devotional service, spontaneous love, so that we don't think it's unattainable or totally abstract notion, that they exist, there are many devotees on that platform, and we could strive and hope to achieve that, to come to that level. There's also mentioned 64 items in regular devotional service. Very good to read them once in a while, because at the beginning we read them, they're so important because they guide us a lot of things that we could do, we should do in devotional service, things we shouldn't do. So, after a while we don't read it anymore, but it's always good to go back. I'm not going to read them today because there's a lot of them, 64. It's mentioned that the last five are the most important, and the ones that I think we those five. So the five last ones, which are considered the most important by Lord Chaitanya: one should associate with devotees, chant the holy name of the Lord, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, reside at Mathura, and worship the deity with faith and veneration. So this is something we're trying to do on a daily basis. So these are very important five limbs of devotional service. And then, of course, he talks about three types of devotees. those the highest platform, those who have very firm faith and also who are very knowledgeable in the scriptures and the philosophy. Then he talks about second class devotees, also have very firm faith but are not so knowledgeable in the philosophy and the scripture. And then he talks about the weakest type of devotees, those who don't have knowledge and also don't have firm faith. Their faith is very shaky. That's probably most of us. One day we're very fired up, the next day we're completely depressed or down and can't practice anything. So he talks about these three types of devotees, and I thought it would be very nice to maybe read together and meditate on Srimati Radharani, where Lord Chaitanya talks about the 26 qualities of the devotee. So we know that Srimad Bhagavatam is an example of practicing devotee and of course of spontaneous love. So in this level of practicing devotee, we can read the qualities and see how she invited him 100%. And we can also do like a checklist ourselves and see how, you know, we can make from 1 to 10, what level we are with each one of these qualities, and then at the end we do a count and see what level of devotee we are. So it's mentioned that a Vaishnava is one who has developed all good transcendental qualities. All the good qualities of Krishna gradually develop in Krishna's devotee. In one who has unflinching devotion of faith in Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualification because he is engaged by mental speculative, mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. And here are the qualities of the devotee. All these transcendental qualities are the characteristics of pure Vaishnavas, and they cannot be fully explained, but I shall try to point out some of the important qualities. Devotees are always merciful. So we can meditate on Srimad Radharani as I read the different qualities and think, you know, to what level she has these qualities. Such as an example for us. Devotees are always merciful, humble, truthful, equal to all, faultless, magnanimous, mild, and clean. They are without material possessions, and they perform welfare work for everyone. So Srimad Radharani is engaging all of us, very conditioned souls, in Krishna service, so we can understand how well she is engaging us. They are peaceful, surrendered to Krishna, and desireless. Srimad Radharani has no desire for any self satisfaction, but she has tons of desires to satisfy the Lord, and she has many ideas how to please and satisfy your Gopinath, your Krishna. They are indifferent to material acquisitions and are fixed in devotional service. They completely control the six bad qualities like lust, anger, greed, and so forth. They eat only as much as required and they are not inebriated. They are respectful, brave, compassionate, and without false prestige. They are friendly, poetic, expert, and silent. So these are the 26 qualities, and then there's a few others that are added, taken from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Devotees are always tolerant, forbearing, and very merciful. They are the well-wishers of every living entity. They follow the scriptural injunction, and because they have no enemies, they are very peaceful. These are the decorations of devotees. So many devotees have these qualities, many pure devotees, and Srimad Radharani has these qualities to unlimited and limitless extent. She will never forget any service that anybody performs for her Gopinath in Bangladesh. We have a tendency to forget, you know, so many devotees have given their service to the deities, to the community, and she remembers every single one of them, and how much service they did, and why they did, and how they did it, and what consciousness was. So she remembers everything about service here in Bangladesh, and we have a tendency to forget. We need to be reminded all the time. So in the next chapter, which goes really deep into, you know, devotions of devotional service, it's called the life's ultimate goal. And there it goes very, very deep, of course. And it talks about many different aspects of pure devotional service, different levels of devotional service, pure devotional service, spontaneous devotional service. But there's a list of Krishna's qualities, the 64 qualities of Krishna, followed by the 25 qualities of Srimati Radharani, which sometimes we paint and put on boards so that we can remember her specific qualities and how she attracts Krishna with these qualities. I'm just going to read them as well so we can meditate on these more intimate and more intimate qualities that she has in relation to Krishna. So after explaining the 64 qualities of Krishna and how Krishna has four very unique qualities, Lord Chaitanya mentions Srimati Radharani's 25 chief transcendental qualities are: she's very sweet, she's always freshly youthful, her eyes are restless, she smiles brightly, she has beautiful, auspicious lines, she makes Krishna happy with her bodily aroma, she is very expert in singing, her speech is charming, she is very expert in joking and speaking pleasantly, she is very humble and meek, she is always full of mercy, she is cunning, she is expert in executing her duties, she is shy, she is always respectful, she is always calm, she is always brave, she is expert in enjoying life, she is situated at the topmost level of ecstatic love, she is the reservoir of loving affairs in Gokula, she is the most famous of submissive devotees, she is very affectionate to elderly people, she is very submissive to the love of her friends, she is a chief gopi, and she always keeps Krishna under her control. In short, she possesses unlimited transcendental qualities, just as Lord Krishna does. So, between Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani, all the qualities, emotions, feelings, exchanges, relationships, anything you can imagine are fulfilled. So, we are just very, very, very minute assistants of Srimati Radharani. And she is fully, fully dedicated in serving Krishna and trying to make Krishna's pleasure increase. So she has to always be looking for new ways and creative ways how to make Krishna's pleasure increase unlimitedly, eternally. So I think I will stop there and ask Bhagavati to continue. I don't know exactly what aspect she will bring, but I'm sure she will add to some of Srimati Radharani's wonderful pastimes and qualities. Srimati Radharani ki jai.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your part of the class. Today is the day on which we can get a lot of mercy from Srimati Radharani. And she is because she's the tender-hearted female counterpart of Lord Krishna. And because she's so tender-hearted, she's very merciful. And whatever we pray for her, she's very willing to fulfill our desires, especially, of course, when we pray for devotional service. So today is the day in which we should pray to Srimati Radharani to engage us in Krishna's service. Krishna is completely self-sufficient, and Maya has no influence on him. So anything which is tinged with material desires cannot conquer him in any way. The only potency that can really overcome Krishna has to be purely spiritual. Therefore, of course, Radharani is the person through whom we can serve Krishna. Her name, Radharani, comes from the word Aradhana, worship. And she is the medium for transmitting service of the devotees through Krishna. She's the presiding deity of devotional service, and because she's very merciful to devotees, because she's very merciful, devotees especially take advantage of nature to attend Krishna's service. Pure devotional service is not very easy to achieve. So often it is said, you know, we come to devotional service and then after a few days we think, you know, we're pure devotees, or at least we're going to be pure devotees within the coming year, maybe 2 years. But pure devotional service is very, very difficult to achieve. And it can only be achieved, well, it can be achieved very easily through the grace of Srimati Radharani. She is Sarvakanti. And Sarvakanti means that all the desires of Krishna reside in her. The Srimati Radharani fulfills all Krishna's desires. Lord Krishna enchants the entire world. He enchants even Cupid, he's Madan Mohan. But Radharani, she can enchant Krishna. She's Madan Mohan Mohini. She's the enchanter of Cupid. So if you want to approach Krishna, we need the mercy of Sri Radharani, either directly or through the spiritual master. Jayadeva Maharaj writes in a BTG article in 1974 that Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted female counterpart of Lord Krishna and represents his compassionate nature. Therefore, the spiritual master compassionately appears in the material world for the sake of the fallen souls. It's considered a representative of Srimati Radharani. And so, by the mercy of the spiritual master, we can obtain the mercy of Krishna. Radharani is the potency who gives transcendental pleasure to Krishna. And when the mercy of that potency is bestowed upon a living entity, he develops love for Godhead and thus attains the highest pleasure, and he can also distribute that pleasure to others. I also like to meet today because our Srila Prabhupada and both the scriptures and also Srila Prabhupada. This is my favorite book. Everything. I always come back to this one, Krishna Sagati. There's also in CC in item 4, there's a wonderful description of Lord Krishna. It's a consideration in his heart. And then I'd like to end with a beautiful description of Srimati Radharani, describing her beauty, starting from basically the top of her head to the tip of her toes. So that would be a nice meditation to end with and something to take with for the rest of the day. So in the Alila of Chitara Charitamrita, chapter 4, it is said that once Lord Krishna considered within his heart, everyone says that I am complete bliss, full of rasas. All the world derives pleasure from me. Is there anyone who can give me pleasure? One who has 100 times more qualities than me could give pleasure to my mind. One more qualified than me is impossible to find in this world, but in Radharani I feel the presence of one who can give me pleasure. Although my beauty defeats the beauty of 10 million cupids, although it is unequal and unsurpassed, and although it gives pleasure to the three worlds, seeing Radharani gives pleasure to my eyes. The vibration of my transcendental flute attracts the three worlds, but my ears are enchanted by the sweet words of Srimati Radharani. Although my body lends fragrance to the entire creation, the scent of Radharani's limbs captivates my mind and heart. Although the entire creation is full of different tastes because of me, I am charmed by the nectarian taste of the lips of Srimati Radharani. And although my touch is cooler than 10 million moons, I am refreshed by the touch of Srimati Radhika. Thus, although I am a source of happiness for the entire world, the beauty and attributes of Sri Radhika are my life and soul. In this way, my affectionate feelings for Srimati Radharani may be understood, but on analysis, I find them contradictory. Even though Krishna is confused by all those emotions that he has for Srimati Radharani, but with all those emotions that he has for Srimati Radharani, how powerful is it when she whispers in his ear and points out the devotee because of all the service he has done throughout his life. So it's so important to please her. Okay, Krishna Sangati. For this, I invite you to either look at Srimati Radharani or close your eyes and kind of apply this into this description without distractions. Now that he was with her, his heart's desire was complete. He could now meditate upon her beautiful transcendental form that was in every way the declaration of her love. Her feet, dress, thighs, hips, waist, hands, arms, shoulders, neck, face, complexion, all were expressions of the love meant to give ultimate pleasure to his senses. And the highest expression of that love, Mahabhav, issued through every pore of her body, making her form glow with its own irresistible beauty, molten gold. Radhika's complexion shaped lightning, golden champaka flowers and molten gold tinged with kumkum. While softly repeating her name, Radha, Radha, Krishna examined her expertly braided hair, which had a flower blossom at its end, and which shone with the beauty of monsoon cloud embroidered with moonlight. A priceless chandika rose from the graceful part on her forehead, where a line of vermilion sang of the victory of Kikit, her love for Krishna, which remained exclusive while she was still the spouse of another. Radhika's moon face emanated a flood of all things sweet, gracious and charming, and the combined nectar soothes Hari's greedy eyes. The lines of pearls in her hair were like splendid lines of stars, and her beautiful forehead was like a graceful crescent moon decorated with curly locks of hair, colorful designs, and wonderful pictures drawn in musk. And what would anyone say of Radhika's shadow-green eyes? Even Krishna's best efforts failed to comprehend them. Perhaps her eyebrows, their closest neighbors, and Kamadev's unstrung bow could describe them. Even those eyebrows, having become motionless from drinking the nectar of her eyes, remained speechless. Only the movements of her mascara-anointed eyelids indirectly managed to liken her eyes to glittering safari fish, eager to sport in the wake of Krishna's beauty. A star-decorated lightning flash bounced atop two bubbles of nectar within a lotus flower could not compare to Radhika's nose. This, too, was the conclusion of her polished cheeks and bitter-fruit lips, which shared the company of her nose ring, a sapphire-decorated pearl. Then, Radhika's endearing smile, radiant and soothing like moonshine, nourished the insatiable chataka, Krishna, whose desire only increased by seeing the fine rows of her pomegranate teeth. And if all these allurements were not enough to capture Krishna's mind and eyes, then her glistening jeweled hoop earrings, Kamala's nooses, which incessantly kissed her musk-painted golden cheeks, would surely tie them down. Then again, such a special effort was hardly necessary, for even the smallest part of Radha's form was sufficient to absorb Krishna and his qualities. When Radhika turned her face slightly, Krishna's eyes fell upon a three-lined neck, which appeared to be a divine conch shell fashioned from lightning. Her neck, decorated with pearl necklaces and the garlands strung by Krishna, was home to her incomparable voice, which cuckoos and exotic birds worship to gain unending fame. To increase his pleasure, Radhika raised a vine-like arm, soft as a shirisha flower. With her delicate fingers, she pushed back the hair from her forehead, slightly exposing her left shoulder, the pinnacle of beauty. As Radha made this amorous gesture, thus dwarfing the greatest pastimes of the goddess of fortune, the bracelets on her wrists tinkled like distant thunder and flashed like lightning peeking out from behind a bank of rain clouds. Seeing this, Krishna and the gopis were plunged into an ocean of happiness. Krishna's eager eyes followed her delicate hand, a red lotus ornamented with the most auspicious markings, longing to feel its sacred touch. When the rasa dance would begin, the flawless fingers of those hands, shining with moon-like fingernails and decorated with many jeweled rings, would intertwine with Krishna's fingers. Without thought, Krishna felt his fingers quiver in anticipation. Radhika's navel was like a shallow lake from which emerged a line of the finest hairs that formed the stem of two distinguished lotus flowers for breasts. These lotuses were especially splendid, nurtured, and illumined as they were by the soothing moonlight of her face. Because there were no ornaments upon Radhika's slender waist, it decorated itself with three incomparably beautiful folds of skin. This self-sufficient waist was the pathway to her broad hips, decorated with tinkling bells, its own rhythmic movements, and Krishna's constant glances. Radhika's broad thighs, treasure box knees, and lotus stem legs hid beneath her silk sari, which rustled and flashed with her every movement. And on top of all that was a shawl as splendid as a blue lotus. Within his mind, Krishna bowed 1,000 times before Radhika's all-worshipable lotus feet, which even in the daytime shone with a host of toenail moons, and which were decorated with tinkling ankle bells and anointed with red lac. He thought of her soft red lotus feet that bore the auspicious marks of the conch shell, lotus vine, and chariot. He incessantly worshipped those lotus feet through the eloquent prayers he inspired in his pure devotees. Krishna's meditation upon Radha's priceless beauty could have continued for millennia, but being so close to her aroused his sense of touch, taste, smell, and hearing, which had been neglected while he focused upon merely seeing her. His hands still in hers, Krishna managed to say, "Beloved, lest it perish of hunger, please allow the black bee of Vrindavan to collect honey from this incomparably delicate lotus flower." Radhika praised Krishna with a cool glance, raised her chin, and to increase his pleasure, which was the only cause of her every act, pushed his hand away as she decorated her camphor-scented lips with the wonderful syllable, "No." Shrimati Radharani ki jai.
Very good.